Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
And I'm John C. Dvorak.
Really? And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
I was looking around at something and I said, what is this?
I think I like that opening much better. It was a little bit more natural. You know? So, how are you? It's the last show for 2018.
Yes, this is the last show of the year.
I know. It's amazing. We have
off to a bad start already. Next, the 18th, I believe.
It's the 18th. Next week is Christmas Day. The week after that is New Year's Day. And we are not as dedicated as they are on the No Agenda show, which there the show must go on.
Oh, yes. We have a show business mentality on that show.
So that has no – there's very little – what would preempt that show?
If you know, one of us happens to be in the air on an airplane or something without any alternative.
But that's rare.
It's happened.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. I thought we'd start off with a few different things related to some of the exciting items that happened here, right here on DH Unplugged throughout the year. Just to kind of do a recap. There's probably a lot more than this, but I was thinking about some of the highlights. Some of the things that people really grabbed onto.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing we have to say is the Fed limericks.
Yeah, that peak.
Well, we had,
We jumped a shark with that.
Oh, we did. We definitely did. We had a good run for a while, and then it became exhausted.
Yeah. Well, but you're the one that quit on it.
People are still talking about it.
They are not.
Yeah, I've seen every once in a while I'll get a limerick about something. Somebody will communicate to me in a limerick. People have talked about, you know, oh, when are we bringing the limericks back? It was one of the best things on the show. They waited for it all the time. I'm not kidding. I think one of the other things that highlights throughout
it's not saying much about the show.
I know. One of the other highlights of the year, or at least the thing that we seem to have covered quite a bit of, was more than we ever wanted to know about sex dolls.
That's right. We did cover sex dolls.
Not only once or twice, several times.
I don't think it was more than twice.
Well, I think we covered the sex dolls. Well, we covered other sex items.
Did we talk the sex doll whorehouse?
Yes, we talked about that. And we talked about the lifelike ones that are coming to places, et cetera. So we discussed
robot girls.
Yeah, exactly. And we discussed some of the best and worst of the markets throughout the year, kind of really making some, I think, some pretty bold calls and talking about that, not shying away from either side of the angst throughout the year.
No, not at all.
I am claiming joint and dual victory in our general cryptocurrency call.
How does that we'll explain?
Well, in other words, we always thought it was a piece of crap.
Although if we both invested when it was 50 cents, I don't think we'd be doing the show much longer.
No, we would. No, we would probably not. But nonetheless, nor if we invested when it was 17,000, would we be doing the show any longer?
We'd be in jail probably.
We gave away over a dozen shirts to winners of the Close to the Pin competitions.
Yes.
Listenership is way up. So that's saying something.
I should mention that the last shirt that we finished, Jay put a pumpkin on it.
Oh.
And the envelope is probably the best ever.
Did you take a picture?
And the pump. Oh, you know, I forgot to take a picture of it. She wrapped it up in a box and it's like, now I can't.
Well, there's another one. We have another one.
Oh, good. So, well, anyway, so this pumpkin, I would hope that the guy who gets this pumpkin painting takes a picture of it.
Well, that's good because I can't count on you for that, obviously.
Well, I just turned my back. Next thing you know, the thing was off, ready to go.
Well, the next one, they're requesting a Christmas tree.
Okay, that's fine.
That's pretty easy. So that's, by the way, if anybody needs a little gentle reminder of what that is, through the end of this year, we're offering a special donation gift for people that would like to purchase a one-of-a-kind DH Unplugged t-shirt to help out with all the show, with the cost, with the things that go on here. Like, we're going to have trophies for the winner of the Close to the Pin Cup, and we give away other shirts and books and just things we do throughout the year, and servers and, you know, all that stuff. But basically, you could give the price of the show, which today is show number 435. Go over to the site, dhunplugged.com, and click on the donate button and just do it. So there you go. It's not going to be for much longer. So if you don't want, if you want to do this and get a shirt signed by myself and John and a wonderful, what are we calling that? A designer envelope packaging.
Designer envelope packaging and a little painting of your choice on onto the shirt as an addition.
On the shirt too?
Where do you think the pumpkin is?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was the envelope.
No, no, no. The envelope's the same splash painted envelope. The pumpkin is on the shirt.
Oh.
I thought I made that clear when I made that offer.
No, I don't maybe I didn't hear it correctly.
Oh, well, there's a pumpkin on it.
There you go.
The jack-o'-lantern, actually.
Very nice. So the Christmas tree will be easy to do on that one. So that's great. We got some great whiskeys from listeners this year.
We did? I know of one.
Whiskeys. I got one, you got one. So that makes whiskeys.
Oh, okay. That's right. It's true. That would be two whiskeys.
Whiskey, but we could use a lot more of those.
Yes. If we're going to follow the stock market, we need a lot of whiskey. A
lot more whiskey. We had over 90 stock ideas from the DH Unplugged stock picking game.
Oh, okay.
And we're looking forward to a great 2019. So I think anything else that you could think of that stuck out from the year?
Probably some things. Yeah, Walgreens.
Oh, yeah, Walgreens. Well, the best double pick of the year.
Yeah, I picked it twice.
I think we
twice
started,
is nice.
I think we started streaming this year, too. Was that 2018?
I don't remember, but yeah, I know you. I don't know. Maybe yeah. It could be. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, let's do a market update. I'm calling this a halibut stream.
For the halibut?
Well, just for the halibut. You know what a halibut is?
It's a fish.
It's a fish. It looks like a gigantic flounder.
Yes, a big giant flounder with a very tasteless. Well, not totally tasteless. If you cook it right, at least it has some. But it's a fish.
It's a fish.
Kind of a tasteless fish.
Very large, flat fish, eyes on the same side of its head.
Yeah. Kind of horrible looking thing.
Lays on the bottom. It's kind of a
bottom
feeder. It is kind of ugly. But it's a fish like several others, like catfish and flounder and grouper and carp. They're bottom feeders. So I'm calling this market a halibut's dream. And
you're seeing this as a bottom.
I'm seeing this as there are stocks and positions that are just have gotten totally obliterated, that there may be a time to start feeding on some of these.
Huh.
If you were a halibut, you'd be buying this stuff and eating this stuff all over the place.
I think this is like you changed your opinion.
On?
Because your opinion when we were trying to pick the way this market's going, you said that it might get to January and then go over and then slowly down, kind of like the 69-70 market. Yep.
I thought we would have the opportunity for...
You changed your mind? Have you changed your mind? Is that why you got this thing going on, this bottom feeding thing?
I've changed my mind in one regard, that I thought that there was going to be a little bit more time to be safe in this market through the end of the year, which was wrong. And then I thought there was going to be a significant roll in 2019. I think that my timing, fortunately, I didn't go crazy with this timing issue. My timing was off in terms of when this market would start to roll. And I still believe there was going to be one last hoorah. So we may see a little bit of a move towards the end of the year. We'll see what happens with the Fed tomorrow. And possibly then the first quarter, sometime in the first quarter is what my concern was, when the economic numbers will start turning a bit. The thing that I want to mention to you is something really important, and I learned a really good lesson.
No.
And that was with a stock called GoPro.
GoPro, yeah.
This was a great lesson, and I think this is very indicative of what's happening. So GoPro, I was pretty much convinced that there was going to be a big buying spree at the time, back when, that towards the end of the year, that things would be pretty good. That we would see a Christmas buying, it was the gift for Christmas, and everybody was going to be all jammed up about it, and they would buy GoPro, and the stock would do really well, and then there was going to be an absolute just, that's it. No, that's it. There's no more buying
GoPro. Brick
walls. Yep. What happened is, it started almost identical to what's happening now. In November, December, this thing started rolling over. And I said, oh, it's down 8 or 9% at this point.
You were actually playing GoPro then.
Yeah. It's down 8 or 9%. You know, what am I going to do with this thing? I was going to back up the truck and bet the house on GoPro short. And this is when it was probably $50 a share. And what happened is it rolled down, like, let's call it 12% or so, maybe even a little bit more, you know, towards the end of the year. And I'm like, well, maybe it just all pulled forward. That's it. And then it had a bit of a spike after that. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to get really involved, too involved in this thing right now. It looks like it's over. And then it totally imploded into the next year. And then from where it is now, it's down to whatever price it is. You know, nobody talks about GoPro anymore, right? It's not like a
stunt. In fact, if you bringing it up was like, oh, there's the name of the from the past.
Right. So I think
I haven't thought about GoPro for almost, I don't know, we played it a little bit in the game, I think about a year ago.
Right.
Well, let's take a look at the chart. Holy mackerel, it's $4.63. You were talking about it being 50.
Right. It was pretty, I think it was 85 at the high.
Really?
Yeah, something like that.
Holy moly, look at this thing. Yeah, 85, looks like 85 something, 85.26.
So the lesson here is that...
let me look at this. Let's look at this chart before you go with the lesson. I'm looking at this thing, and here it is where it's like in 57, then it just dropped off a cliff and kept going, and then kind of just bounced around a little bit, and then it found us. It's found itself at 10 and just... steady as she goes, 10, 8, 9, 10, 8, 9, bounced up a little bit, high 10s. Then it took another little dip, and then 5, and it stayed at 5, and then it said 4, 5, 4, 5. It's kind of bouncing around between 4 and 6. And there it is, $4.63.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a short I missed.
Well, I think there is a similar circumstance that is happening now. It's always hard to tell when you're middle of it, but we see that you know, advanced move of the markets, and you'll probably see some kind of a rebalance towards the beginning of the year, maybe even something towards the end of the year if there is a dovish Fed that comes out tomorrow, and if there's some talk about that, maybe some resolutions to keeping the government open, possibly, you know, something with China, and then I think you're going to see another breakdown that's much stronger than we've seen here.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. But the lesson is that if we are in a trend that's moving lower, and, you know, of course, things can change, but don't necessarily think, okay, well, that was that. And if it starts moving up again, just say, oh, forget about it. If you're consistently firm with the fact of what's happening, maybe go back and play it on the pop. In other words, go short. If in fact we see a really nice rally towards the, I don't know, I'm just picking something in here. Let's say the first couple of weeks is a great rally in the markets.
Like we did. It could happen.
And then, you know, maybe that's a great shorting opportunity from here.
Maybe. This GoPro thing is very annoying.
It is.
Because I forgot all about it. And then the other thing is GoPro kept themselves, I think one of the ways you keep the stock propped up with a company like this, you do have to do a little advertising, which they did during that moment when they were up there in the 60s and 70s. They were advertising.
Well, they were going to be a platform. Remember that?
I don't know about that.
They were
you know, definitely a pros tool that the public could use, even though I never thought it was much of it. I mean, I've used GoPro products, and I've never thought much of them. I mean, I have two of them
sitting right here. I'm holding one right now. I just grabbed it. There's two that have been sitting on my desk next to my microphone for the last year not being used.
Mm.
Maybe I should
say. And why is that? Why is it not being used?
You know, because it's too... Because
who needs it?
It's a pain in the ass.
It's so much easier to use your phone.
Just use a phone, click it, and send it. This, I got to take the thing. I got to move it to the computer. I got to edit it, turn it upside down, right side up. It's too much. It's so much memory it takes. It's just a pain in the neck. I'll use it for scuba diving, maybe some fishing trips here and there, but otherwise, eh. You want to see another stock that we, you know, missed?
Yeah.
APRN. Look at that chart.
APRN. What blue, is APRN?
Blue Apron.
Oh.
Oh. You want to get nauseous.
Oh. It's 89 cents.
89 cents. It is one of the worst IPOs, top three IPOs, the worst in history.
And it was as high as 10 bucks.
Yep.
To 89 cents. So that's a massive move down. Yeah. I don't know if you could get op puts on that thing or anything, but I guess you could short it.
Not at this point. You could short it at this point.
So now you can't probably get anything, but yeah, well, this whole idea was a bad one to begin with. This is the analog of the things that we got to witness in the 99,
yep,
2000.com collapse.
Right.
Ideas that, yeah, they seem like, oh, they're okay, but then again, when you think about it, they're not. And I'm putting Webvan, Pets.com, Blue Apron, all the, you know, yeah, you know, okay, you get the deliveries, food delivery. Food delivery is just always sketchy to me. I think Amazon's making a mistake. Or they're going to, you know, take over the business and then lose money, lose their shirts.
I'll give you one more to look at.
Okay.
OSTK. That's another one that I called a short on forever. I got some of the short. I did get some of the move on that. And then just stopped following it, to be honest with you.
Oh, Overstock.com.
Recently this week, see that move down this week? I've never liked the CEO. I've never liked how they did stuff. They were coming out with a coin-based, you know, a cryptocurrency
when that deal happened,
and blockchain and all this stuff, and the stock went crazy.
What's blockchain got to do with anything?
Well, they sell it because it was something about their T0 coin or the T0 protocol and how they were going to revolutionize the financial industry and trading and blah, 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 blah. And it was, oh, everybody's exciting. And Muriel Siebert bought into them. And then, you know, now they're selling off their retail business, their Overstock business. And supposedly somebody was coming in with a whole bunch of money. And this week it was discovered that money is never coming in, and it's not coming in. And the stock went down like 24%.
Well, it's down to 12 bucks. So
12 bucks.
Well, it's probably going to go down to a dollar.
Yeah, I should have bet somebody on that. I had a few people that I had some arguments with on this one. You can look up my tweets.
Well, if you look at the chart, you can see what, you know, it's like what happened in it where it was like it was down to 16, 15, 16 bucks and it shot up for some reason. What was the reason of that last shoot, that last increase where it jumped up like crazy and then bounced back down?
It was because they were selling off their Overstock business to focus on the T0 and something was about somebody was coming in with some big money.
Oh, it was just on rumor. That's why it was such a pointy peak.
Yep. But never trusted them. Anyway, so I think that just to get back to this, I think that, you know, aside from the lesson here, I think that there is the opportunity to pick up some stocks at a pretty decent price here. Now, on for how long, I can't tell you. But I can tell you that there's a whole host of stocks that are overdone to a very severe degree. And it may not seem like it because the market's like, you know, close to flat, down a little bit this year. But I mean, there are stocks all over the place down 40 and 50%. All over the place.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that, though. It feels like, okay, we just took back what we got last year.
No, it doesn't quite feel like that.
But it's pretty ugly here. So just to follow up on what's going on and take us down the road of what happened last week. It was kind of a rough week last week. It was the averages finished somewhere around 1-2% down. And then there was another bloodbath on Monday coming into this week. 600 points down at one point for the Dow, finished down 500. S&P dropped about 2%. Small caps hit a 15-month low. Banks are hitting a 18-month low or more. Goldman Sachs gave back all of the amount that it made since the election. Those aren't good things.
No.
It's one of the worst Decembers in decades. Do you know how long back we have to look?
No.
1931.
Huh.
It was the worst December since 1931. And I wonder, like I said, to go with this theme, is there a silver lining? So we saw the VIX closing in about 25. Oversold conditions pretty strong. We have the Fed approaching on Wednesday, and the hope is that they're going to lay off a little bit here. And we have the end of the year. So if everything does in fact line up, we've seen this before with these really bad Decembers. Oftentimes the last few weeks are good. I don't know. We'll have to play it by the way the trend goes. But I got to tell you, this is a very ugly market condition. I haven't seen this kind of market condition since 2008. When you when you see a market that's up today by 1%, then by midday, it's down 75 basis points. Then it pops up 40 or 50 basis points, and it finishes close to flat. Then after hours, it goes down another 45, 50 basis points, then starts moving back up again. I mean, it's ugly.
It's a computer.
What computer? What do you mean a computer?
I think it's a computer is manipulating the market.
It's also on every headline. So I think there are those headline readers. That needs to be outlawed. You know, the headline readers that are trying to get ahead of
everything. Yeah, the headline readers. There's more examples of the computer.
But they won't regulate them.
Well, how can you? It's free speech. Well, like computer trading is free speech if you think about it.
Well, maybe these knuckleheads should stop talking so much.
They're paid to talk. They have no choice.
They have nothing to say.
You notice this.
and now more than, let's say, let's just go back, just only 10 years. 10 years. I'm not talking about the time before there was a television or a radio. I'm talking about just the last 10 years. You could reach more people with a single tweet. It sounds like a Superman commercial, but reaching more people with a single tweet. But it's you know, you could reach so many people and you can disrupt so much in just one tweet versus 10 years ago, you have to have a strategy session and you have to have a conference of some sort or some kind of a media event, right?
Well, let's see, 10 years ago would be 2008. And so that, the end of 2008, which would be right after. I don't know. You know, there was other ways of getting people to panic. I remember there's a lot of internet panics. I think that was around the era when somebody sent out the rumor that Steve Jobs had died. This was years before he died. And
they were just early.
Apple, yeah, well, everyone can say that about anyone. The Apple stock took a huge plunge and then came bouncing back. That was without Twitter. I'm not convinced of this.
It used to be the rumor mill, and they would spread it around through some kind of instant messaging system that was limited to insiders that were moving things. But I don't know. All I could tell you is that the market action has been really ugly. That's why the VIX didn't, even as the market was up 1% today, the VIX was down a small amount. And then it popped right back up. As a matter of fact, I have a chart of the VIX right here. You can see where it is. It finished right at about 25 today.
25 is ridiculous.
You think it should be what?
Well, if the market was normal, it should be around 9.
9, 10. I would say 15 would be reasonable.
Well, 9 is what I like.
9, yeah, well, that would be a good thing. By the way, that's what the signal you need to find. When is it safe to go back in the markets? I've gotten a lot of those questions recently. You know, when do I know? First of all, you never know. However, when the VIX is elevated like this, there is a bet that there's going to be a significant amount of volatility in the short term. And then what you want to see is when not only the VIX going down, so if the VIX happened to spike down tomorrow from 25 to 15, let's say.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
That's unlikely.
Yeah, right. But that's not good either. You want to see the range of returns throughout the day, not just the end number. So today you say, oh, the markets were up slightly today. Well, no, that did not describe the markets today. You want to see the range compress dramatically so that there's no crazy movement throughout the day that could just cause the markets.
500 up, 500 down, 500 up.
Yep. And you want to see the VIX come down and stay down for a while. And once you see that, it becomes a much more safer environment to get in. So right now is more of a trading market than a buying and holding forever market. Although, you know, 15 years from now, things could be a lot higher than they are now. But still, it's the kind of market that if you do invest and you're not committed, you may get pushed out very quickly.
I think you could invest in GE.
Oh boy. Really? GE had a few good days there. He had a few good days.
I think it's a good long-term investment. You got no other choice.
Yeah. If the depending on what's going to be left at the end of this. Nationalist,
so what's the deal with oil?
So oil, we have oil coming up on the bottom here. Wait, you want to look at that first?
Yeah, because I'm just keep looking at this at 46.54, which is the price I'm looking at. I'm thinking, last time I looked, this was in the 50s.
Yep. It had 8% down today. I don't know if there was any particular news, except for the fact that the promises of cuts in production are not coming through. In the U.S., we are producing record amounts. Everybody has the oil rigs just pumping. So there's no reason to see anything. I mean, and we saw a big turnaround on this. You know, there's a lot of inventory out there. There's a lot of pumping going on. Demand is obviously down. So this is the kind of chart we have. It was finished a little bit lower than this. But there's some support in this area, you know, in the 45 to 46, 7 range. But below that, you're back down to 2016 levels, if down to below 40. And then isn't that where people are panicking? Remember,
this
years
is about the point where they start to panic because a lot of people can't drill profitably at that price.
Under 50 is where the number is for the frackers. So now you're going to
The frackers have always been high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what
the normal oil guys, they can get to 35, I think, and still do okay.
But what you want to see is some of these rigs starting to shut down. That's what you want to see.
That's the cycle.
The problem is if many of them, let's say a year ago, hedged out a lot of their risk, or even recently when it hit 75 or so, hedged out their risk, they can keep pumping till the cows come home.
Yeah.
So
that would be right.
I bought a little oil personally. We traded a little bit in client accounts today. I bought towards the end of the day, almost right at the end of the day, I bought a little bit of oil for myself. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about that for the game. I don't want to give it away.
You're going to put oil on the game?
Yes. National Association of Home Builders confidence plunges this month down to 56. Expectations were about 60 for the number. They're down 25% in the last year. So this could be something that maybe the Fed looks at. I don't know. Here's a chart of it. You can see how it rolled over a bit.
Yeah.
It's at the same level it was. Let's see. Let's track that back to 2015. And we know that housing is weak. The housing stocks look horrible. Bank stocks look abysmal. Just can't get any kind of an up here. So do you think we're going to have a shutdown? The White House today did signal that President Trump might be ready to capitulate on his demand for $5 billion for a wall on the southwest border. But negotiations on spending deal remain just in question. And President Trump did give us a very good idea of what he's thinking. He said, we'll see. So do you think they're going to shut down or have a partial shutdown? Or are they going to have a continuing resolution? What's your thoughts?
Well, what do they always do? They have a continual resolution, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Or they don't shut down at all. I mean, they just can't get their act together. I don't think they're going to shut down.
They call it a CR. The continuing resolution is a CR. That's the lingo. That's the governmental lingo. We have a CR. Bitcoin, last week, spammers seem to be sending out a wave of threats to businesses and schools and all sorts of other locations in, quote, English-speaking countries around the world, demanding Bitcoin in exchange for not detonating these bombs. So there was no evidence that there was any real explosives out there, but it caused a numerous amount of evacuations and law enforcement officials are across the U.S., Canada, and New Zealand. But if it would seem to me that, I don't know, if you were to pay Bitcoin to that party, somehow there'd be a way to track that. Isn't that the whole point? I know there's some anonymous factors involved in cryptocurrencies, but with Bitcoin, isn't there potentially a way to track it on the
blockchain? I believe so. I don't know the details because I didn't get that involved with Bitcoin and how it operates, but there's some way of It's got blockchain. So blockchain has information in it. And I think you can extract some sort of details from that, I think. I don't know. Again, don't know.
So last week, there was something interesting that happened. I think it was last week. What day is today? Yeah, it was last week. So last week, the Robinhood app. You know Robinhood app, what it does?
No.
The Robinhood app, which if it as its name implies, you know, steal from the rich, give to the poor, is an application, they have a website too, but it's an application where you can buy and sell stocks with no commission.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
I've heard of this.
They pay for order flow. They get paid for order flow. They probably don't have the best execution. It's the kind of stuff that was almost, I think has been outlawed. Like the way your broker used to treat you. Yeah, we can get that for you. What's the commission? $75. How many shares? 5. Oh, okay. You didn't have a choice.
Right. Those days are over.
Those days are over. Now what you have is companies coming in and saying, well, we're going to do it for free. Yeah, uh-huh. So how do you make money? Well, hand over fist, actually, from possibly getting your name, selling your name to list companies, to possibly getting some of the spread on your stock deals and paying for order flow. So they trade and transact through other places and they get paid for doing so. So last week they did something pretty fascinating. They announced something called Robinhood Checking and Savings. I was even interested in this. They said that they'd allow for anyone to open a deposit account with no fee ATM access, a debit card, insurance from SIPC, and a 3% interest rate. Now,
well, I can see why you'd be interested.
You'd be interested too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So I got some. I don't have FDIC, but I have SIPC protection. That's good. I got 3% interest. I got no fee ATM.
What's SIPC?
The Security Investor Protection Corp. That's the kind of protection you get on brokerage accounts against fraud and malfeasance in your brokerage account. It is not a guarantee.
But that's not the same kind of protection you get from the
no.
Because a bank, I mean. Like if a brokerage goes out of business, it's not necessarily...
It's not an equal thing to FDIC.
Yeah, FDIC is a very good guarantee.
Right. But wait, on Friday afternoon...
More.
Yeah, there is. On Friday afternoon, the head of the SIPC told reporters that SIPC would not insure these accounts and had reported that Robinhood to the Security Exchange Commission. And by Friday, Robinhood Checking and Savings was walked back by the company. Now you can just go back to the site and see only cash management accounts coming soon. But in the meantime, supposedly, they collected 750,000 names of people with their emails, et cetera, maybe their cell phone numbers, I don't know, that were interested in this. So even if this doesn't work...
They made a fortune on the mailing list.
Yeah, they got 750,000 new names. Nice.
Maybe it was a mailing list scam all along.
It's possible. But now also if it's not a mailing list, they can at least now have people who know more about Robinhood, maybe didn't know about it before. Maybe you didn't know about it before. And now we're talking about this here and you know about this. And maybe you tell your kid, hey, you know what? I told my son he opened an account. He put in $10 and he bought 2 stocks, like a share of each. I'm like, okay. But the point is, he did that, right?
Do they deliver the certificates?
Oh, yeah, right. But you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It obviously created a lot more it created a buzz. It created the opportunity. And plus, you know, who knows how many accounts they'll actually convert by people looking at this at this point. Huh. So there you go. Johnson & Johnson, boy, they're in hot water, aren't they?
I think, in fact, I was thinking of putting it on the game as my last pick of the year, shorting Johnson & Johnson.
Shorting them.
Yeah.
So
shorting them.
You saw what happened, right? So the deal is that there was a report by Reuters that said that the conglomerate knew for decades that cancer-causing asbestos was in their baby powder. How it got there, I don't know.
I'll tell you how it got there.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Asbestos and talc are commonly found together in the earth.
So they just took this talc and they didn't separate it or check it or whatever?
No, they checked it and separated it as best they could. Hmm.
Okay. But they said...
Wasn't good enough.
Well, the company went on the major defensive, almost to a point that they went on the offensive. So they took out full-page newspaper ads defending its products and practices, and its chief executive officer went on television interviews the first time after tens of billions of dollars of the company's market value was erased. Then, after that didn't go so well, they announced another massive stock buyback program, or in addition to the stock buyback program. And here's the stock chart. You can find all these charts over on DH Unplugged. Stock went from 148 quickly down to about 130.
Yeah.
You think there's more fallout?
Well, I just, when I heard the whole story, the first thing I thought of was Johns Manville.
Tell
Pretty
me.
Much a company completely put out of business by asbestos.
Aha. But JJ, they have a lot more than just this. Well, good point there. This is like, what company was also, remember the silicone implants? Who was that?
I don't remember that one, but it was another problem. You can't have these kinds of problems anymore. You're killing people. And once that starts to begin, you're going to have nothing but trouble.
Let's see. Dow Corning.
Yeah, Dow Corning, yeah.
They were put out of business.
You can get put out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Johnson & Johnson is an old established company. It goes way back, but so is Johns Manville.
Yeah, because if you have anybody now that wants to tack on a claim that they potentially got cancer from using this, they're in big trouble. And that could be a lot of people. Because what parent in their right mind is now going to use baby powder from Johnson & Johnson on their
well, they
kids
might as well just throw out, they might as well just discontinue that line of product.
Right.
Which, of course, will not bode well for the legal suits.
Yep. Nothing good can happen here. All right, the big guns are out proclaiming a bear market condition. Not the first time we've seen this, but Jeffrey Gundlach, the chief executive officer of Double Line Capital, which is known for his bond prowess, said that...
Yeah, isn't he one of the guys who said there's going to be a bond collapse?
He did. He says a lot of things. he says a lot of things. He's one of these other, I would call it, curmudgeonly Twitter fellas. You know, that's always just ragging on stuff. But on Monday, he said that the S&P stock index is headed to new lows and the U.S. equities are in a long-term bear market.
Yeah.
He said that passive investing has reached mania status and will exacerbate market problems. That I'll agree with. Remember, I've talked about this 100 times. I thought the ETF problem is a big one, because once you start selling, it's just, you sell in the whole market. He says, I think we're in a bear market. I think we're in the first leg down, and the second leg down is usually more painful than the first leg down. I think it lasts a long time. It has a lot to do with the fact, I believe, that we're in a situation that is highly unusual. We're increasing the budget deficit so spectacularly, so late in the cycle, while the Fed is hiking interest rates. I agree with a lot of that, actually. I think the enormous budget deficits we have, the enormous debt pile that we're getting, this is just not good.
Well, it's never been good. It wasn't good when the market was going up. It's just not good. But I don't see how you can equate it with the market going down, when it's clearly a cycle. And I still don't believe that we're out of the original collapse from the year 2000, which, you know, I don't feel that has ever come back from that.
I think 2000 or 2008?
2000.
Right. Well, you also have a lot more of 2000 orientation because of where you live.
Yeah, there is that factor, yes.
I mean, if you were living somewhere like in Texas when oil collapsed, you know, and even though it drove
back, I'd be singing a different song.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm singing this, the 2000 song, and then the 2007, 2008, 2009 mess just to me was just like, let's, instead of having a nice recovery, even though it looked like we might have one in 2007, let's just keep this baby in the tank And we do have, yeah, there's a lot of here. There's a lot of activity. People are working. There's unemployment supposedly low. You got homeless everywhere. We have this. We every time the market collapses, there's always this kind of discrepancy. Remember stagflation? You had stagnation and inflation. It made no sense. And we have no sense. I mean, this makes no sense either. And you have it makes no sense that we have this low unemployment with the homeless encampments. It looks like shanty towns all over the Bay Area, which is one of the jumpingest places. The traffic is jammed up. People are working. They all have jobs. Meanwhile, we have shanty towns.
You know, I want to say something about that. There's something interesting about that, John. You know, I've been to a, I've been very involved more civically recently, and I go to a couple of different meetings. And right outside one of the meetings we have, it's called the Downtown Council. It's where business leaders of the downtown area of Fort Lauderdale get together once a month for a little bit of discussion and some decision-making to a point and recommendations. But right next to us was this incredible encampment right next to the library, and there was all these tents and people. You couldn't get rid of them. Yeah. One of the problems we found is that some people who are homeless choose to be homeless. I'm not saying everybody. Please don't take this the wrong way. But there is that grouping that for whatever reason is you can give them a home. They don't want it.
I'm not going to, nobody's going to argue the point with you, but this is not new. There's been plenty of people like that. It's not a new phenomenon. The people out of the blue have not decided to do this. This has been going on for 25, 35, 50, 100 years. People don't want to, you know, work. They don't want to, you know, they would just soon, they don't want a free house. They don't want a house at all. So that's not a new thing. So it's pointless to just to point at that phenomenon. It's just, it's common. It's not a big deal.
Let's move on to something. And I just thought of this just now as you were talking about it. I don't know why it came to my mind. We have asked people to do a best of show for DH Unplugged for a while now, and nobody's stepped up, right?
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody stepped up. Here's what I'm going to do. Okay. If you would do a best of show for us for the end of the year, you know, like an hour-long thing of all the best of clips and fine stuff. You do a decent job. It's not just smacking stuff together. If you could do a best of for the end of the year, I will allow anybody that does that, if, you know, the person that does that, to have, should I do 6 months, a year? 6 months free Investology access, where we manage your money through our programs. Only somebody that's not there. I can't, if you're already in there, I can't undo it. So, you know, it's the way it is. But I'm just the person that does the best of will give 6 months free Investology. What do you think of that?
It's a good offer. But the problem is our audience doesn't have, I mean, even some of the other audiences that we may have doing other things, we don't necessarily have audio editors listening. We don't have videographers. We don't have the kind of people, the producer types that are listening. They're investors or they're part-time investors or they got some other real job that doesn't involve media. Media is pretty specialized. And so the likelihood of having somebody that can even do it, let alone wants to do it, is pretty low.
So you're saying that our listeners don't have any talent?
No, I'm not saying that. And I know it's a funny thing for you to throw at me.
Yeah, well.
But no, what I'm saying is they don't have the...
I get it. If you were listening to a show on how to make podcasts and you said to somebody, hey, can you do me a favor and make a podcast? Best of it would probably be easier to do.
Yes, if you were doing a show that was aimed at media people.
Right.
There'd be plenty of people that would not only could do it, but there's probably to be a competition to who will do it.
Right.
Yep. That's not our group.
I got you. All right. Well,
not that there's not one or two guys that can't do it.
Or gals.
But it's not this, not what, no. You might as well offer more than that. You're not going to get anywhere.
All right. Okay. Moving along, we got a few more things to cover here. FedEx was out with earnings tonight. And they cut their guidance. They're no longer providing guidance for 2019 for revenue growth and operating margin.
This is not good.
No. We heard this with Apple. We saw what happened to that stock, where they're not going to be giving us any more revenue growth. You know, it's like this. It's like I'll give you numbers as long as they look good. If not, you know what? We're just going to hold back on that because there's some clarity issues out there. They attributed most of their weakness due to European weakness in the European economies.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yep. Now, the weather in Europe sucks. Our planes can't fly. People aren't buying things or sending things because of the weather. This is now in line with what you were talking about earlier. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said today, in my opinion, market structure has led to more volatility. Part of this is a combination of the market presence of high-frequency traders combined with the Volcker Rule. In other words, the Volcker Rule, so banks can't create liquidity, they can't be involved in the markets and have their own trading desks, which they do it differently. But more importantly, he's talking about the fact that we have algos and high-frequency traders that are really causing all these problems, which is what you said.
Yeah, it's kind of what I said. Laverne. I'm glad we're compatico with the with Mnuchin.
You're in with the Mnuchin. You're in with the Nooch. Let's see here. Penny Marshall died. Age of 75. Yeah. Famous for Laverne and Shirley. Hassan Pfeffer Incorporated. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was great. Let's just kind of segue now. Since this is the last show of the year, I was thinking, and I'm gonna give you throw you a curveball. Okay. And I haven't planned anything either. Just to throw it out there. Wacky or non-wacky predictions for 2019 on any subject that you'd like. I gave some examples here, maybe on Brexit.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I think they're going to do a redo. They're going to vote again.
They're going to vote again, and they're going to undo the Brexit.
You know, that I don't know. It depends on the British. I mean, they may have they may be fed up. I mean, the Irish had given, you know, had a choice to make, and they voted not to join the EU in the first place, and then they made him vote again, and I think they rejected it twice, and they made him vote a third time, and people just got sick of going and voting, and so they just passed it. The British may have more, they may be more annoyed by the possibility. Now, the thing, the variable here is the youth of Britain. They are very much, they don't think of themselves as British. They think of themselves as world citizens, Europeans. And they didn't come out and vote during the Brexit thing. Why am I going to go vote when it's not going to pass? Then they got stunned when it did pass. And so if they come out and vote this time, they could turn it back the other way. And then that will be the end of Great Britain probably forever. I don't know. So
I don't know. I mean,
it's up in the air.
Their economy is suffering pretty significantly, and they're having a lot of problems with it. And it's causing a lot of problems for a lot of other places as well. So just hopefully they could get their shit together either way. How's that for?
Well, I have to say this. Their economy, if it's having trouble, they're in the EU now.
Well,
they have not done anything that takes them out of the EU or the restrictions of the EU or the edicts of the EU or the ruling of the EU. So if they're having problems now, is it going to get better if they get completely out of it? Or is the EU just trying to screw them and they're going to keep doing that if they, you know, to punish them? The EU is a bad operation.
Well, that's no question about that. I mean, the whole thing was built for Germany to begin with.
Yeah, this is Germany's third shot at world domination.
Right. But the thing is that it would seem that maybe there's a good amount of uncertainty that has caused a lot of businesses in Britain to pull back.
Yeah, that's the excuse.
All right. So we're going to have another vote. Fine. I think it's going to, I don't know, I have no prediction. Politics, anything interesting on politics and impeachment, not impeachment?
I've written about this in the No Agenda newsletter. The way I see it, the whole impeachment thing is something of a scam just to keep the public on edge for a final attempt to vote Trump out in 2020, because it's just like everyone keeps saying, well, he's going to get impeached anyway. Why? They keep it up. It's just like let's keep saying bad things about this guy instead of helping him like they promised. Impeach. They're never going to impeach. it's too much work and they're not going to get it past the Senate anyway. They need something like 75% of the senators to. I mean, the guy'd have to do something terrible, and he hasn't really done much.
So you're saying, is just to make sure I understand this, which is interesting. You're saying that the political play here is to keep on bringing up the idea of impeachment so that in 2020, there's that thing in the back of their minds that, you know, if we do bring him on, he may get impeached anyway, so why bother bringing him on to begin with?
Yeah, something like anything there just to keep negative thoughts about this guy, about the president. Keep negative thoughts going, and so we maybe win in 2020. This is fine and dandy as a strategy, and it seems to be working, except for one thing. The Democrats haven't got anybody to run except Hillary.
Oh, God.
And they're trying to not even get her. They're trying to do everything they can so she won't run. Ignore her. I noticed the recent CNN stories, you know, they talk about, oh, here's the people that might win. They leave her off the list.
I haven't seen any.
Yes, because she's been blackballed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't really think about that I haven't seen anything or heard anything about her.
When she cranks it up, she still has the machine. She hasn't given that up. So she still has the ground troops and everybody else that's needed to make this work. And the middle-aged women, and she will start cranking it up when she needs to. Right now, she's, I think, just getting a list of enemies that she's going to have to deal with if she does run again.
It'll be interesting, to say the least.
Oh, it's going to be great fun.
It is. Listen, when you hear the word 4 more years, I just keep hearing 4 more years of No Agenda Show. That's what I keep hearing. You know, that's 4 more years of the No Agenda Show.
It's like it writes itself, this material.
It does write itself. What about rates in the Fed? Let's talk about that a little bit. The Fed is going to be coming out with the rate decision tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, 2:30. There'll be a conference, there'll be a Q&A and all that. What's your expectation of what Fed Chair Powell will be doing and how he'll present?
Well, I said last show that I don't think he's going to do anything.
So you still think that I think, you know, it's interesting. I think that the odds for Fed hike are at like 65% now, which are down significantly from, you know, 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
So you think you're still going to say that he's not going to do anything?
Well, I realize it's kind of a bet that I wouldn't put money on. But I'm just thinking it might be good for might stabilize the stock market. If they do a rate hike, especially with the retail numbers coming in the way they are, not good. Although I don't get that completely. Maybe you can explain it. But I thought Black Friday was a big success. And I thought the
same crap every year.
Cyber Monday was a big success. And now we're with. And everybody's going, oh, all the retailers are losing their ass and the ETF for retail has gone to the toilet and everything's bad.
Well, you have the problem that, let's just say that you're right when you stated that, hey, Cyber Monday was good and Black Friday was good and all that, right? The best ever, let's say, right?
Right.
The question is, what was the cost to get that to the best ever? Whether discounts or if not discounts, if it was full price still, were some of the input costs so high to get these materials due to, let's just say, the tariffs, that it caused a major drop in profitability?
Could be. I mean, I went with my daughter to Target today.
Yeah.
Target.
Yes.
And so we're just buying some stuff that we needed for Christmas gifts late. But then we were going up the escalator. I said, hey, look. And I pointed down in her section, women's section, it said, sale 70% off.
Wow.
That's and a lot. So I went to get something. She said, I'm going to go and look at that sale. So she bought a number of things, but she bought a really pretty kind of a lace dress of some sort that was, it was just a nice little product. $7. And she says, you can't buy the fabric for this dress for $7. And I said, well, it supports slave labor in Asia, I think, is the only reason it's as cheap as it is. But it was ridiculously cheap. And, you're losing money on these some of these products. There's no doubt about it.
Even if there is a 50% profit margin on there and their profit is $350 on it.
Yeah.
How many of those do they have to sell to make any kind of money?
Too many.
Yeah. So This is the problem. So you may have had some major discounting go on. And supposedly, was it? Was it Walmart last week? No, Costco. Costco said that the costs for the products were, well, for the products and for advertising the products and for marketing were much, much higher than they anticipated. That's why that stock got slammed.
Huh.
So.
Well, they still have the $5 chicken. I'm sure they lose their ass on that.
I'm still going with the Fed raising tomorrow and being rather dovish in their talk.
I believe that that's the logical thing that everyone would suspect. I think it's a mistake. I don't care how dovish they are. I think it's going to hurt the market, and I think it's going to hurt the market for the rest of the year. I think if they said, no, not this time, we're going to just skip it for now or do it maybe in a few months, I think it would benefit everybody, because the way I'm seeing it, I don't think the situation is pleasant.
Markets would go haywire if they didn't raise. I don't know how haywire it would go, but there'd be some haywire stuff tomorrow. I am making sure that I am not planning anything for 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock just to watch the action.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Well, if they don't raise, it would be interesting to see what happens. But I think this whole market would skyrocket.
You'd either get a skyrocket, or you would get, kind of crazy, right, on that. So somebody did mention to me that right now on the we're running a little bit over, but it's the end of the year. It's the end of the year program. We got a few more things to cover. Yes, last show. In fact, yeah, in last show of the year. Somebody mentioned that we should have Where's Our Donation segment. Well, here it is. You ask for it, you get it. The deal is that we really appreciate any help you get. We talked about this in the beginning, but you can go over to DH Unplugged and donate any amount of money that you feel comfortable with. You should probably not be comfortable. Probably get a little uncomfortable with the amount of money that you give.
Yeah, that would be better.
Yeah, just get a little uncomfortable. Somebody called me today, actually, and he said, this is how the pitch went today, okay? This is my local temple rabbi, nice guy. Andrew, how are you? I said, I'm good. What's happening, rabbi? He said, I got to tell you something. We need to get together for a little schnapps. This is what he says, okay? I said, oh, you know what schnapps is, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He says, we've got to get together for the little schnapps. I said, oh, you're going to get schnapps? Okay. He says, it's been a while. You had to come by. That stuff that you make, that brandy you make, it was terrific last time. And by the way, these guys, when you get together with these guys, they're called the Chabad Lubavitch. They're the very religious guys, but they don't press that on you. It's just they accept anybody, and I'm not that religious. So you go there, though. I go to he invites me to his house for one of these holidays. And he goes, you want a little whiskey? I said, okay. What does he do? He breaks out a bottle of Johnny Blue. Okay.
Wow.
These guys don't mess around. Okay. He goes, and I got this other one over here. You have something. And they do it straight. They do it in shot glasses.
Sure.
Johnny Blue in shot glasses. I'm like, okay, I'm partying. I'm ready to go. And every time I see him, as a matter of fact, I'm in Temple. He says, do me a favor, bring that brand you make, that 100 something proof brand you make. I'm like, okay, we're in Temple. We're passing this stuff around in Temple, doing a little Rosh Hashanah thing. And then he says, so listen, we'll have some schnapps. You do it. He says, listen, by the way, the reason I'm calling, we have these people, they're going to donate, and whatever you donate, they're going to quadruple the amount. We're trying to raise money in 36 hours. Blah, 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 blah. I'm making calls to people I know. What can you give? So I gave him some money, right? I look recently, just now, this just started today. They're up to $180,000that he got so far with the schnapps spiel.
Yeah.
So let me tell you.
You have to do it.
So anybody out there, if you want a little schnapps, you want a little something, a little shtip with a little stuff, do me a favor. Go over and donate to DH Unplugged if you'd like. You can get a DH Unplugged T-shirt signed by myself and John for the cost of the show, $435. Go over to the website, click on it, tell me your shirt size, the address to send it to, and we will send you that and any design you want to have on the shirt and a wonderful envelope to go with it as well.
Yes, you should definitely just pick something, and Jay's into painting on the fabric currently. But she does a great job.
After the New Year's, listen, let me tell you something, folks. After the New Year's, there's nothing left. It's kaput. It's kaput.
This is the last 2 weeks of this offer.
Yep. All right, let's just one more time go through the Close to the Pin Cup finalists. So if you want to read those off to make sure everybody's in there, I think.
I can't because I can't open that email.
Ah, then I will read them for you, okay?
You will, yes.
Only these participants who price guess. Anybody can go and register and put their number in, but we're going to delete everybody else. So don't bother if you're not on this list. Dom Lee or Dom Le, Brian Prado, Brian Johnson, Tony D'Abruzzi, Ryan Bauman, Marcus Galliford, Alan Schoen, Joshua Dennis, Paul Taylor, and Mike Kazmierczak.
Kazmierczak.
All like those names are eligible for the Closest to the Pin Cup for 2018. And I think the last day to register is this Friday, I believe. And then it's on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And we'll find out who wins at the end of the year. They get a trophy. They'll get a shirt. They'll get all sorts of great stuff. All right. We're running out of time here. Let's see. Vitamin Water offering $100,000 if you can stay off your smartphone for a year. Have you seen that offer?
I'll do it.
Yep. You got to be picked. You got to throw away everything.
Won't pick me.
And then you could use an old-fashioned phone, but you can't use a smartphone or a tablet. And you're going to have to submit lie detector test.
No problem.
Yep. Now, let's see here. Google's moving to there. All right, let's get to the game. How about that?
All right.
Some, all sorts of Google-y stuff here. Can you get to the game?
No, I can't. I'm stuck. You're going to have to wrap this for us.
Work here. All right, let's talk about this. This is a game that we play. It's not offered to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any sort, of any kind, of any notion at all. It's just something that we do, we have a little bit of fun with, where we pick some stocks between the two of us, come up with some ideas, why we're doing it, why we're not doing it, and then we track it over on DH Unplugged to see how we do. There's 10% stop on all these. If for whatever reason you decide, hey, you know what? I'm thinking, that's a good idea. Do your own research. Go get yourself a financial advisor. We are not liable for anything because we're not giving this as a recommendation. Let's be clear about that. John C. Dvorak, Horowitz & Company, or myself may own any of these. Clients of Horowitz & Company may own any of these, and we will duly note that. Go over to DH Unplugged, click on the weekly stock picks, check out what's going on over there, see how it does. Just a little game that we play here. So with that, John doesn't have this stuff. Guess what?
I already know it's on there.
But
Walgreens Boots.
And the second part of the name is appropriate this week.
Did it get booted?
Yes, it did.
Oh, I wish I had the thing open.
Mm-hmm. Walgreens Boots.
Well, that's fine. I was hoping to clear out the whole thing.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Up 18.2%, and it got kicked off, as John would call it, Bunge or Bungie. Down 7%. Facebook, which was the Horowitz Challenge, up 6.8%. Bank of America, which we thought would hold support, is down 6%. JP Morgan, which we did, I think the two of us, yes, is down 3%. I'm adding oil, a three-time oil ETF, symbol UWT.
I think you might be making a good bet there because oil's got to go up.
It's got to at least
stabilize. It just doesn't, unless it collapses, but there's no reason for it to.
Right. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's getting towards ridiculous levels here.
Yeah, I agree.
You have any picks for this week?
Yeah, shorting Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, yeah, right. J-N-J. This is the only short that we're going to have on the list, by the way, is Johnson & Johnson.
It's a very short list. It's a short list.
Aha, I got it. And your thesis is what?
I think that they're walking into a John Mansfield trap.
How do you spell Mansfield?
Mans, M-A-N-S-ville, V-I-L-L-E.
Mansfield trap. That's a thing. You should somehow copyright that, the Mansfield trap.
Could be.
That should be maybe the name of a book or something, the Mansfield
trap. That sounds like a good book title.
It does.
Well, if it actually works out, and Johnson & Johnson, one of the most oldest and most respected companies in the United States for over 100 years, I believe, if they go out of business, bingo, I think I got a bestseller.
Yep, you do. All right, with that, we will call it a day and bid you adieu. Wish you a wonderful and a happy Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you and your family.
Yes, indeed.
And I'll see you again on the other side, my friend.
We'll see you in January.
Yep, we'll do.
On a Tuesday.
Absolutely. See you then.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.